Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav. We're learning today Leilu Nishmas George Sachs, Aaron Osher Zelig Ben Yaakov Yitzhak. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We begin on Lamed Vav and Aleph, 11 lines or so down from the top with the two dots, where we quote the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, V'ha'edim chosnin al haget v'nei tikkun olam. We set up that from now on, going forward, the Edim would sign on the get, and this would be for the advantages of everyone to prevent the takala mipnei tikkun olam. As Rashi explains, shemei achar shiyisparshu shmosam, now that we know that their names, who they are, they write down for the first time their names on the shtar, so therefore they would be able to recognize who they are, umakirehem lohoyed alksav yodam. So therefore, yodeyem umakirehem, those people that knew them would be able to come and testify and therefore authenticate the get. Okay. Now, Gemara says, what do you mean, mipnei tikkun olam? How can you tell me that this is a tikkun olam? This is then d'oraisa. D'oraisa, because based upon the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where it says, d'chsev, v'chosov, basefer, v'chosov, that you have to go and sign it. So this seems to imply that it's a din d'oraisa that you have to go sign on the get. And as we've already mentioned many times, Amar Rabba, Rabba explains, lo tzricha l'Rabbi Elazar. This goes according to the opinion of the Tanna Rabbi Elazar, the Amar Edei Mesir Karsi, who says that the get is effectuated with the handing over of the get from the husband to the wife, or from the husband shaliach to the wife, or to the wife shaliach. The Edim who witness this, they're the ones that effectuate the get, and min hadin, according to Rabbi Elazar, there doesn't need to be a signature on the get. So along come the Chachamim, and b'nei tikkun olam, according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Zakin, that this, he was the one that was misaking this, so he made this tikkun olam that said, Takinu Rabbon, Edi Chasimu, Mipnei Tikkun Olam. What's the Tikkun Olam? The Zimnim, the Maise Sadi, because sometimes the witnesses who were the Ede Mesira will have either died or Inami. Alternately, Zimnim, the Ozli, Medina Sayam, they went back to the Medina Sayam, let's say where they came from, or to any other place that they left to, and they're no longer around. And all of a sudden, this woman will not be able to prove that she was divorced. The Ede Mesira aren't around. And therefore, they can't testify that, yes, this was a valid get. And therefore, by having signatories on the get, so now all of a sudden, the woman can take out her get and show, listen, I am a divorced woman. These witnesses can attest to the fact that I'm a divorced woman, and those witnesses will be able to identify who they are because they're now signing on the get. And therefore, this was the tikkun olam that Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin had set up in order to facilitate the women from not having chas v'shalom aspersions cast upon them that they're really divorced. If they can prove that they're divorced, they can get remarried. That's Terence number one. Terence number two, Rav Yosef, he tells us, Rav Yosef, on my note, you don't have to lock in our Mishnah, only going according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that Edei Mesira Karsi, but even Afilu Temel Rav Meir, who says that Edei Chasima Karsi, so then, according to him, what was this Takana? If, according to Rav Meir, it's the Chasima of the Edim on the get that effectuates the get, so then, how could there be a Takana? Maybe they take an olam that they have to sign, according to Rav Meir, it's a Din Torah. No, Rav Yosef tells us, what was the Din Torah? The Din Torah is that they just have to be two people that sign on the get, but laf dafka, do we know who they are? Interesting. Hiskinu shehi edim miforshin shmoseim begitin. The edim from now on further, this tikkun olam came about that they now would go and sign their names on the get as opposed to signing something else on the get. And therefore, because mipnei tikkun olam, they now sign their names, Kiditanya, as we learn in the following Brisa. Barishona, Hayakosev, originally the witnesses would just sign and they would say, Ani. Now we have the word Ploni, but many of the Rishonim actually delete the word Ploni from here. So they would originally write, Ani Chosamti E. They would just sign, I was a witness to this. And they would just sign their name saying that I was a witness. But what exactly did they sign? According to the Yavitz of the Shor B'Tzion Balocha, they would just sign their first name. So they would write, I, Yanko. Or some suggest they would just sign I, Ploni. According to the Gersin, it's Ploni. They would just say, I, so-and-so, without actually specifying their name. They would say, yes, I was a witness on this, and they would just sign. And according again to the Yavitz and Shor B'Tzion Balocha, they would just sign their first name. And that would be acceptable mid-daraisa to say that there were signatories on the get, and that this get was a valid get, even according to Rav Meir, and it effectuated by their signing of the, when the get was handed over from the husband to the wife, that would make the get. And they would say, in this situation, just their first name, let's say. So, if they were able to authenticate that, yes, these were valid witnesses from some other document that they signed and said, yes, these signatures are the same as those signatures, and we know that the other signatures were kosher, so therefore this is a kosher witness, they would be able to authenticate the get. However, the imla, but if there were no other signatures around that were similar to those signatures, they wouldn't be able to authenticate the get, and therefore, puzzle, the get would be considered to be not a kosher get. So this was put the woman into tremendous trouble if they couldn't find another shtar that had the same signatures on it, because we didn't know who the signatures were. So Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Azaka came along and gave takana gedola hiskino. So he made this great takana. And the Gurion Hashas, he brings down, what does this mean, takana gedola? So that implies that there are takanos ketanos. So the idea over here, Tosus explains elsewhere, is that this refers to a tzorech gadol. So this takana gedola refers to there was a great need for such a takana. Not that the takana itself was gedola, but there was a great need for this takana. All the takanas were great. There's no such thing as a great takana and a small takana. So the takana gedola over here refers to the tzorech gadol. This was a real problem. The women couldn't prove that their divorce was an authenticated divorce, and this would leave them in a terrible state. So Rabbi Gamliel came along and made this great takana. Shumifarshin shmosam beginning. They would write down, I so-and-so, and they write the name, I Yanko, who was the son of Yitzchak. Oh, now, if Nei Tikkun Olam, there would be people that would recognize the names and say, oh, that's Yanko, that's this certain person, and we'd be able to go and prove that they were, in fact, the authenticating signatures on this get, and therefore everything would be good. So the Mora says that seems to imply that they have to now sign their full name. They have to sign Yanko Ben Yitzhak A, so it would be Simon and Lo, but they couldn't use a Simon. They had to sign their name, but I'll show you, the Gemara says, many examples were great. Tamidei Chachamim didn't sign the name, but they had some sort of a simon that would be well recognized as being their name. So, for example, for a Rav, Tzir Kavra, Rav would make a picture of a fish. As Rashi points out, Dir Masot Tzir Kavra, V'lo Yechosim Shemo, he didn't sign his name, but he drew a fish. Why Bedavka a fish? So the Mefarshim bring down that the dog represents the idea that they're in the water and the Ayin Hara is not sholed on them. So Rav would have as his name a dog. So he drew a picture of a dog, and that would be his signature. Rabbi Chanina, what was his signature? Tzir Charusa. He would do Charusa. Rashi tells us, Anof Shodekel. This is a palm branch. Why this? Specifically, it's an unfortunate breakdown, because Tzadik Katamor Yifroch. So he used this pasuk that the Tzadik is compared to a palm branch that is blossoming. Ruchista, he did a Samach. That's because the name Chista, one of the prominent letters, is a Samach. So therefore, he just drew a Sabach as his simon. And Roshaya, the similar idea, he did an ayin, because the prominent letter in his name is an ayin. And these were well-known and established signatures for these great Amoroyim, and they were acceptable instead of actually signing the name. And finally, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Tzir Mahusa, he would sign with, Rashi tells us, Mahusa is Vilon Sfina, the sail of a boat. And these were all acceptables. How can you tell me that you had to Bedafka write Meforshin, Shmosei, and Begit, and they had to write Yanko Ben Yitzchak? No, you see that they could write a Simon, and that would be acceptable. So the Gemara answers, these people were unique. Shiny Rabbanan, these great, great Amaroya were unique. The Bekian Simonayu, because everybody was familiar with their Simonim. And therefore, that was the equivalent of a standard signature of Yanko Ben Yitzchak that everybody would know. Oh, this was Rav's fish. This was Rav Chanina's palm branch. Rav Chisa Samach. Rav Shai's ayin. Rav Avuna's sail. So these were well known and established, and therefore they were acceptable. But for everybody else, it wasn't so well known and established. They had to sign their full name so they would be able to be the Makireim and Yodeim would know who they were, and they would be able to go and attest that those were their signatures. New. How did they become so well known? Meikara b'mai avkinu. How did these simonim that we just said for these five amoraim become so well known? So the Gemara answered b'diski, because as Rashi tells us, diski are shtarei sheilos u'tshuvos u'shlomos. So they would write many letters. So they would write letters of shalom one person to another. They would write sheilos u'tshuvos answering questions, and therefore they would sign it with this simon, and it became well known. Only once it became well known were they able to use it on a legal document. They first became well known through non-legal documents, and ultimately, their signatures were their simonim that we just mentioned became so well known that they were able to use them as legal signatures. And according to Mishnah, it said Hillel Hiskin Prusbul v'chule. So Hillel was the one that was misaki this concept of Prusbul. As we mentioned already many, many times, the Prusbul will allow a debt to be collected after the Shemitah year was over, when normally all debts would be nullified. So writing a Prusbul and handing over your debt, so to say, to Beis Din to collect it, so the individual would not be over lo yigos, because Beis Din was now collecting it, and this was an acceptable way. As we already pointed out, this was done in order to make sure that loans would take place towards the end of the Shemitah cycle. If you knew that the loan would not be able to be collected in 2-3 months from now because the Shemitah cycle is ending, so people would be reluctant to lend money because they would be very concerned they wouldn't get their money back. So to facilitate people to lend money from rich people to poor people, so they created this Prusbul, as we'll learn in the Gemara. The word Prusbul means is something that was a decree that was good for the rich people and for the poor people. Why? Tanan Hasam. We learned in a Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Shviyas, where it tells us, Prusbul eino mishamik, that if a person writes a Prusbul, so then the idea of Shemitah's Ksofen, that the Shemitah, at the end of the Shemitah year, again, I mentioned many, many times, there's an opinion that it's from the start of the Shemitah year, but the accepted halachic opinion is it's from the end of the Shemitah year. So a Prusbul, if it's written, will not allow that debt to be considered null and void. It won't have Hashmotas Ksofen, and therefore you can still collect your debt after the Shemitah. So this Prusbul permits the Shemitah not to go and nullify this loan. And Ze'echa ben Atvarim, his skin, Hillel HaZaken, this is one of the great takonas that Hillel HaZaken made. He made other takonas as well. This is one of the great takonas that he made. Shiro'a Sa'am, because he saw that the rich people, Shenimnu Me'lahalvos Ze'ezeh, they weren't going and lending their money to the poor people. And as a result, they would be over the pasuk in the Torah. V'yavo mash kosa b'Torah. This is what the pasuk tells us, that a person has to go and lend money. And it says, "Hishama lecha penyeh dovar im levavcha b'liyal v'gomer." So a person who would think inside his heart, he would think evil towards his friend. In other words, he would say to himself that, listen, the Shemitah is coming up, and I'm worried about the Hashmatas Ksofim, and I'm not going to give you money. So therefore, this was causing a tremendous problem for the rich people, in that they would be over this issue. So therefore, Amar V'Hiskin Prusbul, Hillel came along and set up this Prusbul, the Zehu Gufo Shel Prusbul. What exactly were the words inside this Prusbul? It basically said, Mosrani Lochem Ploni, others have the years of Ploni Uploni, I'm handing over to you, you two Dayanim, you two judges, they could be witnesses as well, as we've mentioned previously, Shiva Malkum Ploni, who are in such and such a place, Shekol Chov, Sheyeshli Eitzel Ploni, Shek Benu, Kolzman, Sheeretzah. I'm handing this over to you to permit me to go and collect this even after the Shemitah year is over, and normally Hashmothas Kosafim would have taken place, but now because I'm handing this document over to you, the Beis Din, so therefore I can still collect. And Vatayonim Chosmin Lamato Owe Eitim. And either the Dayanim or the Eitim, as we said, we use these somewhat interchangeably, because the Prusbul document could just be a statement signed by two witnesses saying that I'm handing it over to Beis Din, or it could be signed by the judges saying that, yes, he's handed it over to us. Either way is perfectly acceptable, and therefore the Prusbul will prevent the Hashmotas Kesof from taking place, and the rich people will not be afraid to go and lend the poor people money. More questions to says, really? Is it possible that there's something that on the Raisa level, it knocks aside the obligation to repay the debt, and it'll come and have the koyach to come along and say, the Hiskin Hillel, the Lo Mishamta, and Hillel comes along and says, nah, we don't have to follow that. How can you have a din derabanan that seems to knock off this din deraisa? Mid deraisa, the loan is canceled. And the rabbanan say, no, the loan's not canceled. How could the chacham have the koyach to do that? That's what the Gemara questions. And Omar Abayi said, yes, they do. Because we're dealing here, Abayi says that it's not a din deraisa of Hashmotas Ksofim. Abayi's teretz is, bishviyas bizman hazeh. Nowadays, unfortunately, we don't live in a time when there is a din d'oraisa of Shemitah, it's only midrabanan, and therefore there is no din d'oraisa of Hashmatas Ksofim. As Abayi teaches us, that when we're dealing with Shemitah as man as that, we go according to the Tanoic opinion of Rebbe, review the Nosi of Rebbe, he, as the Braisa teaches us the Tanya. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe tells us, the Pasuk tells us, v'zeh dvar Hashmitah Shamot. It uses the Lashon, dvar Hashmitah and Shamot, so it's a double Lashon, so b'shnei Shmitah sekos b'davar. This teaches us that the Pasuk is teaching us that there are two aspects of Shmitah, shnei Shmitos, in other words. Achas Shmitas Karka, the Achas Shmitah Ksof, and this tells us that you have to let the land lie unfertilized, unplowed, unplanted during the year, Shmitah, the Shmitas Karka, and then when there is Shmitas Karka, there's also the din of Shmitas Ksofim, that loans will be nullified and canceled at the conclusion of the Shemitah year. So Rebbe's drash is as follows. Bizman sha'ato mishamei karka, when there is a din daraisa of Shemitah, then ato mishamei ksofim, then we have the ability to have these loans not have to be paid back. However, bizman she'i ato mishamei karka, nowadays nebuch, Shemitah is manazer, which is only midrabanan. So there is no din daraisa of Shemitah's karka. So then, iatam shamik ksofen. Then there is no din daraisa of Shemitah's ksofen. The two go hand in hand. And therefore, Abaye's teretz is, this Mishnah goes in accord with Rabbi Shita, that nowadays there is no din daraisa of Shemitah, of not planting, and therefore there is no din daraisa of the loans being canceled. We turn to Lamed Vav of Beis. And therefore, along comes Abaye and says, nowadays, v'takina rabbanim d'tishamet, the whole idea of Shemitah's ksofim nowadays is only a din d'rabbanan zecher l'shvius. It's a reminder, oh, when Mitzvah Hashem, Meher Yabenu, when we restore the dinim of Shemitah, Mashiach comes, and we have the dinim of Shemitah again, so we should remember that there's this din of Shemitah's ksofim also. So in order not to forget this, the rabbis instituted midirabbanan, that Shemitah's ksofim still occurs, and that caused the rich people not to lend to the poor people. And Hillel saw this, Roy Hillel Shinimnu Aam Milahavo says that the rich people weren't lending the poor people money towards the end of the Shemitah cycle, and Aam Abhiskin Prozbo. And then Hillel came along and was misaking this concept of Prozbo. So again, the Gemara now questions the other way. So how is it possible then that on a deraisa level, the poor person owes the rich person money? He has to pay it back. There is no din of Shemitah's ksofim nowadays. There is no din of Shemitah's karka, so there is no din of Shemitah's ksofim. The poor person has to pay it back. So how can the rabbis come along? In fact, this loan has to be paid back, and the rabbis come along with Tatina, Rabban, and Tishamei, that it doesn't have to be paid back. Do the rabbis have the koyach to do that? So Abaye says, absolutely yes, I'm going to buy it. Yeah, shei v'al tasehu. This is a classical example. The rabbis say, sit and don't do something. In other words, the poor person is obligated to pay the rich person back nowadays. Midaraisa, and the rabbis have the right to come along and say, no, the poor person doesn't have to pay the rich person back. Shei v'al tasehu. And therefore, this is something that the rabbis have the koyach to do, and therefore they set it up. No, they then saw that this wasn't a good thing, and therefore they changed it around and said, if you go and make a prusbul, so then you can get around this din. They wanted to make the takana to shamid zechel shvius, that there should be this remembrance, but they also created the prusbul in order that it should, in fact, not cause people not to lend money. Okay, that's teretz number one. Teretz number two, that was Abaye's teretz. Rav Amar, a different teretz. He says the concept why prusbul can work, going against seemingly din daraisa, is because of the concept of hefker based in hoya hefker, that the rabbis have control over financial matters, and they can say that this debt no longer exists. The Amar of Yitzchak, as Yitzchak tells us, minayin shehefker based in hoya hefker, where we know this concept that the rabbis have the right to say that money that belongs seemingly to Reuven doesn't belong to Reuven, it really belongs to Shimon. Where do they get this from? Shenema, this is based upon the pasuk that we have in Ezra, and Klal Yisrael did not want to go and come back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, when Ezra brought the first kibbutz Golios in Bayisheni, so he was gathering the people from Babel to come to Eretz Yisrael. They were a little reluctant to go. And those that did come, they unfortunately were the lower class of people, and they had married, many of them, they weren't so religious and observant, many of them had married shiksas. And therefore, he said, anybody that doesn't come after 3 days, katzas asarim vaskenim, as you've been told to do, to come here alone without your goyish wives, yocharam ko rechusho hu yibodo mikal hagola. Those people will be considered essentially excommunicated from Klal Yisrael, and all their property will be taken away. Yocharam ko rechusho. And therefore, you see that the chachamim have the power of hefker based in haya hefker. Rabbi Lezer, Omer Miyacha. Rabbi Lezer gave a different pasuk for this concept that Rav is teaching us, Hefker, based on your Hefker, and that is the following pasuk. He says, this is from Yoshua, where Rabbi Lezer, Omer Miyacha, Ela HaNicholos, when Yeshua divided up the land after the kibush, there was the chiluk. So Ela HaNicholos, Asher Nichalu, Elozer HaKohen, V'Yoshua Benun, V'Rashay HaAvos V'Gomer. This is the way they divided up all the land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, it said over here, this Lashon, the funny Lashon, Elazar HaKohen, Yeshua ben Nun, and Roshei HaAvos. What does this mean, Roshei HaAvos? Chima Inyon Roshim Eitzel Avos. These words seem to be a little bit, disconnected over here. If you're talking about the Roshei, the Nisim, so then what are you talking about the Avos, the fathers? What's going on over here? So this comes to teach us Rabbi Eliezer darshened, Lomar Lucha, to teach us the following, Ma ovos manchilim es b'neim kol mashiyitzu, just like a parent, a father, can go and divide up his Yerusha before he dies any way that he wants. He can give this child this, he can give that child that. So too, af roshin machilin ha'om kol mashiyitzu. So too, the leaders of Klai Yisrael, the Sanhedrin, the Beis Din, the kayach of the leadership of Klai Yisrael has the right to do what they wish to do with the money as well. And that's where Rebbe Eliezer learns out the principle, hefker Beis Din, haya hefker. In short, we often call this hefker Beis Din hefker, but the actual quote even more is hefker Beis Din, haya hefker. He boiled the answer following Shiloh and base Medrash, ki his kin hill of prosbul, Lidori hu disakin, Odilmo Lidori alma nami sakin. When Hillel set up this concept of prosbul, was it a temporary injunction, so to say? You don't have to pay back the loans, and I'm going to make that you do have to pay back the loans, but it's just for my time, it's just for my generation, Lidori hu disakin, only for his generation, and future generations. It doesn't apply to them. No, they want to be misakin it, they can also be misakin it, but mine was a temporary injunction during my days. Or was Hillel's takana for all future generations as well? That's the question they asked in the Beis Medrash. No, what's the nafkamina? My nafkamina. So the big nafkamina would be lebatule. If you are able to go have a later generation go and stop this takana of prosbul. If Hillel set it up, e amris ledorehu disakin. If he only set it up for his generation, so then it doesn't automatically apply to future generations, and the future generations say, we don't think it's necessary, or we don't want prosbul for whatever the reason to be written anymore, and mevat linale, they would have the right to go and get rid of this concept of prosbul, because even though they're not greater than Hillel's generation, but Hillel never set it up for their generations. But Eliyamris Ludari Ama Nami talking, if you're telling us that Hillel set this up for future generations, so then we have rule that a later basin can't go and nullify what an early basin did. Ha'ein basin yochel levatel divrei basin chaveiro. That one basin cannot go, a later basin cannot go and nullify the decrees of the earlier basin unless they are greater. Elohim kain gadol it. And if they're greater than them in both bechachma over minyan, in terms of greater chachma. In general, that's never true because niskatnu adoros, the further we go away from Har Sinai, the lesser we are. You have Tanayim, and then subsequently Amarayim, and then the Rabbanim Savarai, then the Gaonim, then the Rishonim, then the Achronim. Each class is lower than the class before it, so to say. Each subsequent later generation is lower than the generations preceding it. So you're never going to have this concept of the later generations being Godo B'chochmah U'B'minyan, and in terms of numbers. So therefore, how could a later generation go and abolish this decree of prosbul if Hillel set it up for future generations? So that's the question they asked in Beis Medrash. When Hillel set up prosbul, was it only for his generation, and therefore later generations, if they wished to, could get rid of this takana? Or no, Hillel set it up for all generations, and therefore later generations could not be mevatelit. That's the question. The Gemara says, here's the answer. My, what's the answer? Toshma. We learned from the following statement, the Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Lo kasvinan prosbul. The people today, in his time, in Shmuel's generation, weren't allowed to write a prosbul, Ela ibebe dino de Sura, if they were in the Beis Din of Sura, which of course was Rav's territory in Bavel, or ibebe dino de Nardai, or they were in Shmuel's territory in Nardai. So those two great Beis Dins, Rav's Beis Din and Shmuel's Beis Din, they had the authority to go and write a prosbul. Now, that seems to imply that if Hillel, in fact, had set it up for all future generations, v'isol k'daitoch l'dori alma nami sokin, if Hillel had indeed set up this concept of prosbul for any Beis Din for all future generations to do, like we do today, you don't really even go to a Beis Din. You get two people together and they sign on your document. And that's fine. You don't have to go to the famous Beis Din. Any two people can basically become a Beis Din. V'isol k'daitoch l'dori alma nami sokin. If Hillel set this up for future generations, why did Shmuel say only in Ardoi, in Maishtad, or in Sur, in Ravshtad, could you do this? Bishar Beidin or Nami Lichtavu, it should be able to be done everywhere. Oh, let's bring a raya that Hillel didn't set it up for all future generations. Therefore, only Shmuel and Rav, they had the authority to go and, so to say, be Misaki and Prosbul in their times, but nobody else could do this. Versus Lav Dafka, not necessarily so. Maybe, in fact, Hillel set it up for future generations, but he put in caveats to it. Duma, Kisakin Hillel, Ladari Alma, when Hillel said, yes, prosbul is for future generations, it wasn't just for every Stam, Tom, Dick, and Harry Beis Din. Kigon Beidin or Didei, he only set it up for Beis Dins that had the status and the authority like his Beis Din did. And therefore, in the days of Shmuel and Rav, That would be two examples of a basin. Or Uchel Rav Ami and Rav Asi, they were first generation on Amorim in Eretz Yisrael. The Alime Liafkue Mamona, they had the power to go and take money from one person and give it to another person. They had a koyach of their basin to be Afkue Mamon. And therefore, anybody basin that has the power to be Afkue Mamon, so that they would have the right to go and write a prose book. That's what he'll set up for future generations. That's why Rav Shmuel or Rav Ami and Rav Asi, they could. But Lav Davka, the Eri Stam Basin, but it was set up for future generations, so the greatest basins of that generation could not go and say, we're not writing prose book. No, they would be set up for all generations, and because as great as these future basins would be, they wouldn't be as great as the generation of Hillel, therefore, ain't based in Yochel Vatel, Dibre based in Chavero, unless they are Elim Kain Godol, Himenu B'chochel Minyan. So, as great as Rav Shmuel were, as great as Rav Ami and Rav Asi were, they weren't greater than Hillel, and therefore, they didn't have the right to go and abolish this concept of prosbo. But Hillel only set it up to be in great basins like theirs. So, we have no right one way or the other yet. Did Hillel set it up for future generations, only for his own generation? Toshma, maybe let's bring a right for the following. Rav Shmuel, another statement the Shmuel said, Ha prusbola ulbana de dayanehu. Shmuel said this prusbol is ulbana de dayanehu. We'll have later on the Gemara question, what does ulbana mean? So right now Rashi points out that we're suggesting that ulbana means chatsufa. This ulbana is a chutzpah. This based in setting up a prusbol is actually a chutzpah. They're taking money that doesn't belong to one person and giving it to another person. And therefore Shmuel said this whole concept of prusbol is a chutzpah. And I ayasher chayil, and if I was strong enough, mitzvah Hashem, so to say, when I'm capable of doing so, as Rashi says, im ayasher chayil, im achzik koach, if I have the ability to do so, I'm strong enough to do so, avatline, I would go and be mevatle. Now, as great as Shmuel was, how could Shmuel say, I would go and be mevatel this? He's never going to be as great as the Beis Din of Hillel, so how could he say, when I get stronger, I'll go and be mevatel it? Oh, it must prove that Hillel never set it up for future generations. Versus Lav Davka. This is what Shmuel was saying. Huh, if I were, but of course I will never be. If I were to be strong enuch and be a greater base of Chochel Minyan than Hillel's based in, then I would abolish it. But I'm not. And therefore, he's only saying wishful thinking. He's not saying that I really will. He's saying that I'm not happy with this concept of prusbol. Again, as Rashi says, because it's somewhat chutzpahdik over here to go and take the money from one person and give it to another, that note lin mamon shelo kidin b'chazaka. Basin is essentially taking the poor person having not to pay back the loan and forcing the poor person to pay back the loan. So he felt that this wasn't ideal, and if he only was able to, he can't, but if only he was able to, he would go be mevatel this gezerah that Hillel had made. So therefore, you can't bring me a riot one way or the other as to whether Hillel was for future generations or just for his generation from this statement of Shmuel. Now, that was Shmuel's opinion, that this was a chutzpah, that Beis Din is going to take money inappropriately, because they could do so. But Rav Nachman felt, no, the din of prusbol was a fantastic din. Rav Nachman said, no, akayimena, I would go and maintain this gzeirah if I could. So Shmuel says, what? Akayimena? Of course it's there. Ha, mikayim v'koy. What do you mean? You would go and say, yeah, this is a good deal. I did have Beis Din make a prusbol. If only we could do that. It is a din. Hillel set it up. What do you mean? You would go and set it up. It's already set up. So this is what it means. This is what Ramachan is telling us. Hachi kamar. Ema bei milsa the avagav the lo kosov ki kosov domi. I would say the following if I possibly could. I would automatically make every loan have, so to say, a built-in prusbol. Even if you didn't write it, I would say that every loan should be able to be collected. As Rashi tells us in Ema bei milsa, Oshin Basin, I would set up a basin if I was powerful enough to do so, the Askin, and I would make the following takana, the Stam Malvin Yu Kimostrin Shtaro Sehen Le Basin. I would set up that every Shtar Halva, every debt document would automatically have built into it, even without writing it, that it doesn't get nullified by Shmitas Ksofim, by the end of the Shmita year, that it doesn't get nullified automatically. I would set that up. The Avogad Lo Kosov, Nihavi Kamosha Kosov. Even though it wasn't written, I would say that it is as if it was written. That's what Rav Nachman was saying. If I could, I would do this. I don't have the strength to do that, but that's what I would wish to do because it's such a great idea to make sure that the poor people get their funding from the rich people. The rich people don't hold back from giving to them. And in order to make sure that that occurs, the poor people would have to pay it back. Now, we used the lashon of ulbana before. So when it says, ibailu, hai ulbana lishna de chutzbahu, like we first seem to imply, that was Shmuel's understanding, o lishna de nichusahu. Or is it in fact, lishna de chusahu, Rashi says, lo asu elo lenachas ha-dayanim. They only made it to make the lives of the dayanim easier in order to not have all of these complications, if you wish. So is ulbana a chutzpah type of a term or a more nachas dika type of a term? So that's what the word is. Asking Toshma, bring your raya from the following. Ula. The Amar Ula, Ula said, we have a very famous expression. Aluva kalo shezinsa bekerim chupasa. How chutzpadik is this kala? How aluva, how embarrassing it is, this kala goes and is bezana rachmona litzlan at the chuppah. So we see that this lashon of aluva is a lashon of chutzpah, a lashon of a person who is unfortunately not a good person. So it's a negative expression like Shmuel had understood it. Amar Rav Mari, who was Bra, the son of Debas Shmuel, the daughter of Shmuel. In other words, Shmuel was his grandfather. And we know, mentioned many times the famous story that Nebuch, Shmuel's daughter, was assaulted and taken as a wife by Isser Giura, who ultimately converted. And the Gemara doesn't want to use the name Rav Mari ben Isser Giura, so it's always referred to throughout Shas as Rav Mari, who was the son of the daughter of Shmuel, acknowledging the great lineage that comes through Shmuel, but ignoring, so to say, his father, who was Isser Giura. In any event, this Rav Mari, brother of Shmuel, said, Mikra, what is the pasuk that supports this idea that Ula just said, Aluva Kalish Azinsa, the Kerev Chupasa? So he brings down this pasuk that tells us from Shir HaShirim, Ad Shamelech B'Mesiba. B'Mesiba means at the Chuppah. Until the king is at the Chuppah, Nirdi Nasan Recho. The wife's fragrance is being given off. In other words, the wife was Bezana at her own chuppah. And this is an analogy that the Kodesh Baruch Hu sees that we, Klal Yisrael, even at the chuppah, so to say, are unfortunately straying and going and worshipping Avodah Zarah. And this is the expression over here that we see, the Kala Azuva Shezinsa Bekerev Chuppah. Even at the chuppah, she Nebuch was being Bezana. Amar Rava, Rava says, Adayin Chavirusa Hu Gabon. But this pasuk from Shir HaShirim, while it's casting Klal Yisrael in a negative light, doesn't put us in a totally terrible light. Why is that? Because the pasuk says, Dixiv Nosan, it says, near the Nosan Recho, that the Kala gives off her fragrance. In other words, she is Mezana, but it doesn't say the expression of Lokasiv Hisriach, that she gave off a smelly odor, so to say. It doesn't use a totally negative term. It says Nirdi Nosan Recho, and it's a much more positive term than if it had said Nirdi Hisriach Recho. Okay. The Gemara continues and says, Tanu Rabban, the following Braisa, Hanel Lovim, the Einon Ovim. If a person is insulted and he doesn't respond back, right? If somebody disses you, so the natural inclination of a person is to go diss him right back. If somebody insults you, the natural inclination is, oh, you said that, well, I'll show you this, right? And we view that as a really sharp person. If he can go and retort better than he was insulted, he gives back better. So that's a good thing. So that's the exact opposite of what Chazal tells us is a proper approach. And they say, Hanelovim, if somebody is in fact insulted, if somebody is commented very negatively about by another person, they don't know them, and he doesn't answer back, he sits there in silence. Shomim Cherpasim, they listen to somebody embarrassing them, they meshivim, and they don't respond back. So such a person is considered Osin Me'ava Usmechim Bisurim. Such a person, he's basically worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Ava. He realizes that this person isn't insulting him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to happen. For whatever the reason, he deserved to be embarrassed in this way. And he accepts it, this Yisurim Bi'ava. And he's happy to get through. Oh, this will make my life in the Olam Ha'ema so much easier because I was paid back a punishment in some way now by being insulted by this person. And I will have my entire share in the world to come, not in any way diminished because of this punishment that I deserve to get. Baruch Hashem, I got it now. And they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mi'ava Usmechim Bi'Yisurim. They accept these Yisurim Bi'Ava. About such a person, Alein HaKos of Omer, about such a person, the Pasuk in Shoftim tells us, it says, the O'avav Kitzeis HaShemesh Bigvura. So those that love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love, so they are like the sun coming out in all of its Givura, in all of its strength. So in other words, such people, this is the principle, extremely important principle, the way you react is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will react to you. If you act over here and turn away, the person insulted you and say, I'm not going to get into a fight with you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also not get into a fight with you. He'll see that you're a very nice and decent person, so he'll act with you in a very nice and decent way. And such a person will be tremendously rewarded by not answering back. In fact, there are ideas in the stories of Chazal where a person was insulted and he didn't go and do something about it. So people would come to him for a bracha right away. Oh, now's the perfect time. You're considered so high in Shemayim. Please give me a bracha right now. And the stories of Chazal where people, in fact, who gave brachas, that those brachas came true at that point in time. Now, the Gemara asks the question, my prosbul. Finally, we've had the whole discussion today about prosbul. What does the word prosbul mean? I've already alluded to it, but here we see the derivation. Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista tells us it means pros. Pros, Rashi says, is a takana. Sometimes we spell it with a zayin, sometimes we spell it with a samach. It's the same thing. The rabbis made a takana, pros, for the bule ubute. What are bule ubute? We turn to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Bule refers to Elu Ashirim. These are the rich people. And where do we see this from? Because the pasuk tells us, Tilsiv Vishavarti es Geon Uzuchem. And this means, Vitani Rav Yosef, this refers to Hashem will break the your power, your arrogance over here. So Rav Yosef says, Elu Bulos Sheb Yehuda. These are referred to the Bulos, which Rashi tells us are the Ashirim in Yehuda. So we see this lashon of bulos is rich people. So buli is referring to the rich people. And bute, what does that refer to? El huaniyim, this is a reference to the aniyim. As the pasuk says, dirsiv. The pasuk tells us, haved tavitenu. You will make sure that in terms of a poor person that you give him. So we see haved, which is buti. Rashi says these are the Levim that were aniyim. So the pasuk refers that you should give them money, you should help them out, and therefore the bute are a reference to the poor people, the bule are a reference to the rich people. So this was a pros that was for the benefit of the rich people, that they shouldn't not fulfill their obligation to go and lend money to the poor people, and it was a benefit to the poor people that they would go get loans during this period of time when there was a tendency not to want to give loans. So pros bul is pros bule ubute. Unlike Rabbi Lulusa, Rabbi said to a professional linguistic person over here, a person who knows laws, who knows the foreign languages, and he asked him, "My prosbul, what does prosbul mean in these other languages?" As Rashi says, "The Dibra Masu Lulusa, somebody she'enu medaber b'loshen Ivrit, a person who's not a native Hebrew-speaking person," and he asked him, "What does the word prosbul mean in your language?" And the Gemara answers that he said, "Amale pursa de milsa." So, what does that mean? That person, this lowest person, says that the Pirush of Prusbul, Rashi continues, is Pirush Lo, he explained to Rava, that the word means, Shabul Shono, Piroz, Pursa means Takana, and this Takana over here means, on the Milsa, on this subject, that it was a perfect Takana for this subject. In other words, even in the foreign languages, this word Prusbul meant what we said it is, that it was a Xera, a Takana, that would benefit both the rich and the poor people. This is a good breakpoint. We'll stop over here. With this, we'll conclude today's shiur. Have a great day.